May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to God. Amen. Please be seated. Most people are not born blind. It can happen, of course, according to Google. 1.4 million or so children worldwide are blind. 3/4 of them live in developing nations, and about 90% of childhood vision loss is treatable or preventable. But it's safe to assume that the man in today's gospel lesson did not have access to treatment. The scripture says he was blind from birth. And so while most people cannot relate to that, the vast majority of us do develop vision loss of some kind over our lives. I got glasses for the first time in 3rd grade. I will never forget walking outside the store with my new glasses on and seeing leaves on the tree for the first time. I didn't know you were supposed to be able to see them. It was astonishing. The word translated blind shows up in the New Testament at least 50 times. In some cases, like in today's lesson, it's referring to physical eyesight. And in some cases, it's more of a metaphor for spiritual sight, spiritual vision, seeing as God sees. And like physical sight, it seems that our spiritual sight starts out clear and then worsens over time. As children, we begin life in a more trusting way, without seeing distinctions among people. Over time, we learn to see biases and prejudices. We learn to look for approval from others. We learn to see what others have and perhaps be jealous of that. We learn to see scarcity and threat even when they aren't real. But God sees differently. As the story of David reminds us, people look on the outside. People are impressed by appearance and accomplishment and status. But God looks on the inside, and God sees the heart. But all of that is learned behavior for us. We begin life with a more clear spiritual vision. And then at some point, we put on blinders and start to see as the world sees rather than as God sees. Maybe that is why Jesus said we must become like little children in order to see the kingdom of God. So this man was born physically blind. Others saw him through human eyes as someone to be pitied. They saw his blindness as an earned defect, the direct result of sin of some kind. But Jesus said, no, he was not defective. His blindness was not the result of sin. He was a vehicle for the works of God, just as he is. And to prove his point, Jesus cured the man's vision in a very strange way. Jesus spit into the dirt and made some mud. Then he put the mud on the man's eyes and told him to go wash in a certain pool. And when the man washed, he was able to see. Now, the gospel lesson does not tell us how impaired the man's vision was. Many people today considered legally blind can still see shapes or light. If this man had been able to see anything at all, the cure offered by Jesus made his situation worse at first. The man went through a time of even less light before coming into the light. And isn't this true for our spiritual sight as well? Looking back over our lives, it may be that the times when we felt most sightless, most disoriented, most alone, often became the times when we learned to see more clearly. We learned to see God with us in new ways. We learned to see what we are made of. We learned to see with eyes of greater compassion. We opened our eyes to new paths before us. The mud that Jesus put on the man's eyes may be a symbol for the muck we often go through on our way to a new, more enlightened, more centered life. But most of us would rather avoid the muck. It's hard to change our vision and start to see as God sees. So to his credit, this man accepted the odd treatment. He didn't question or complain. He washed his eyes in the pool of Siloam and suddenly was able to see. The scene that follows always makes me laugh a bit. It reads like comedy to me. Is this the man who used to sit and beg? Yes, no, it's me. It can't be. How did this happen? That doesn't make sense. You must be mistaken. Let's ask his parents. We don't know, and we're staying out of it. How did this happen? I told you already. We don't believe you. Moses is better than Jesus. Go away. And they drove him out. And maybe that has happened to you as well. At some point, your eyes were opened. Maybe you met Jesus in a way that changed you. Maybe you realized you or others were being mistreated and you could no longer turn away. Maybe you learned something wonderful about yourself that other people refused to see. Maybe you realized a path you or others were on was headed to destruction and you tried to sound a warning. Maybe those around you did not want to see the obvious. Maybe they pushed you away. Some biblical scholars believe this part of John's gospel was written a few generations after Jesus, when Judaism and Christianity were starting to go their separate ways. In the beginning, of course, all Christians were Jewish. They met in synagogues and talked about Jesus there. Other Jews joined them at first, and soon they realized God shows no partiality and began to welcome into the Christian family people who were not ethnically Jewish, people who were different from them. After the temple was destroyed in year 70, Jewish and possibly Christian leaders as well decided the two expressions of faith had to go their separate ways, and the separation was painful for both groups. Some think this is why John's gospel often says such disturbing things about, quote, the Jews. Suspicion of the Jews in John's gospel comes from this particular painful moment in history. The phrase usually refers to Jewish leaders and not Jewish people as a whole, but that distinction gets lost on our ears. A painful moment of separation got baked into the scriptures and became the foundation for Christian anti-Semitism, which keeps causing harm today. But that's not what the gospel writer intended. The writer wanted early Christians to see that they could identify with this man. They too had had their eyes opened by Jesus. They too were later driven out of a community. Learning to see as God sees may change our relationships with people around us. But notice that Jesus came to this man. Jesus confirmed that learning to see in new ways was part of the work of Jesus in his life. Not seeing for a time is often part of the process. We often go through times of not seeing in order to see more clearly. So when you feel lost and don't know where to turn and think you might be all alone, you may be just on the right path. Ask Jesus to open your eyes. A famous prayer by Thomas Merton describes this not seeing in order to see. And so let us pray. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, will I trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen.